Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Welcome to another round of the Best of SDHAM from the SDH Network. John Nelson here with you. And for those unfamiliar, first and foremost, thanks for dropping by and listening to the Best of here on the Off the Woodwork podcast section at 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. For those of you unfamiliar, SDHAM is the morning show attached to the Soccer Down Here Network. And what we do, even though we are based in Atlanta, Georgia, we sit there and we look at the topics of the day, walk you through everything going on, whether it is in the Southeast, whether it is worldwide. And it's an opportunity for us to get your day started, and you can catch up with us starting 9:05 Eastern time. And we go till about 11:05, and then sometimes we go long, and sometimes we really go well long into the morning just to kind of get the start in the day. If news breaks and we continue to track down what else is going on, it's a way to start your day. You can go to the Soccer Down Here YouTube channel. You can also follow us on X and on Twitch. Once again, 9:05 till 11:05-ish, Monday through Friday. And then most days we'll go past 11:05 just because of everything that we have to cover. Example, the unified approach and the unified teams that we see in Major League Soccer right now are not a part of every franchise in Major League Soccer, but Atlanta United has had a unified team, and they have made a concerted effort to have the unified team once again just be a part of the fabric of Atlanta United. Their 2025 season comes up, and it starts with the matchup against Nashville after the MLS match at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, playing 11v11 on the surface that their MLS counterparts play on. We caught up with Atlanta United unified head coach Marty Jellamy, who has been the head coach from the absolute beginning, to find out what this season is going to be like here in 2025 and what it's like to see the unified team grow as a part of Atlanta United. And we bring in Marty Jellamy, the head coach of Atlanta United Unified, to start hour number two. What is up, coach? Good to see you.
Hey, how are you doing? Looking for a great season. That's what's up. I mean, got a big match on Saturday.
Exactly, and that's why we wanted to grab you and find out about everything. And I wanted it to also be a bit of an education for those that may not necessarily know anything and everything about Unified. For those that may not know about the Unified team involving Atlanta United, how far back does this go, and what has it been like to see it grow to where it is now?
So it's gone for, I think this is their 9th or 10th year. I've been involved the last 7. And it's been a huge growth. When they first started, they were playing 5v5 on a small field. they primarily only had players and partners from Cobb County. Fast forward to today, we are playing a full pitch 11v11. One of the few teams that do that. We have 20 kids on the team, and also we have open tryouts. What a huge change in just a really short period of time. And also, anyone who's watched us over the years, I think you would see that skill of our players has really, really improved over the last, 9 years or so.
And you look at the life skills that are gained for something like this. It's about community. It's about friendship. It's about learning about yourself, whether you're a coach or on the staff or part of support or one of the players. It's a learning experience, I think, in three dimensions, not just for yourself, but everyone that is in your orbit that's associated with Unified.
Oh, definitely. I think even more so the partners, I think, really, really learn a lot about themselves by doing the program. The players get opportunities to come talk on shows like yours. They have to speak in front of crowds. It's really, really large, a large amount of growth that you see, especially in the first 2 years, if they're lucky enough to make it, because you got to try out every year. There's no guarantees. But it's amazing. The parents especially have come back to us and said, my son or daughter, the growth in their whole life outside of soccer by doing this program is tremendous.
And that's the other one of the other elements in this, and that this is co-ed. This is young men and women who are out there with each other, learning about each other's styles and all of the athletic aspects of it too. And you get to see some amazingly talented individuals across the board, whether you're talking about a young woman or a young man that's attached.
Yeah, no, and we're one of the few clubs that have that. A lot of the clubs tend to be all male dominated teams. Atlanta United, we try to make sure that we recruit and foster to have a co-ed team, because we need to reflect what people see.
Do you remember your first day on the job as head coach?
I distinctly remember the first day standing in the basement of Mercedes-Benz when I walked out for the first match. I was so nervous. It was unbelievable. You get the butterflies just like anything else. And it was pretty cool. I remember that day clearly, that first match.
And so when you look at where things are and now you have incredibly talented athletes that are out there, and it's not just home games. I mean, the schedule varies from year to year. And after the matchup in Nashville, it's a four-game schedule, I believe, again this year, and you're going places that you've never been before, and it's also part of the adventure aspect for the Unified roster as well, where they get to learn and interact with folks, not just themselves, not just in a practice situation, not just in a rivalry match against a Nashville or a Charlotte, but they're going places they've never been before, and it gets to add to their DNA as people as well.
Oh, yeah, and Atlanta United's doing something that's never been done before this year. We're actually going, we'll be the first club to travel internationally to go play, which is unbelievable. I mean, luckily, we're going to get the great opportunity to have an international club play with us later in the year, but we're first. We're the first ones to go out. We're going to go to Toronto. That means passports. That means customs. I mean, that is a huge thing for these athletes to do. I can't wait. I mean, it's going to be a great weekend.
When it comes to, I guess, the on the field coaching and the off the field learning for you and the staff, I mean, it literally is that reawakening of, oh yeah, there's things that we have to do. It's customs and passports and all these kinds of things. It kind of reminds us, and I think it brings us all back to center just in our day to day, not just dealing with athletics.
Yeah. Yeah, repeat that again. I missed that one.
No, no, just the idea of, I think that having these kinds of experiences, whether, you remember about coming back, it reminds you about everything else that's rewarding about being in a situation like this, where it's about travel, it's about integration, it's about personalities and learning other cultures and things like that. I mean, you're learning other cultures when you're taking that road trip to Austin, but you're also learning other cultures. You know, when you go to Toronto and learning internationally, it's life lessons that are off the field. And it's, like I said, it's just as impactful for coaches and the coaching staff as much as it is for these players too.
Oh yeah. I mean, I love meeting the other coaches from around the country, how they develop their teams. How do they get their players? I mean, that's a big part of, luckily here in Atlanta, we have open where anybody who plays soccer, is involved in stuff, can come and try out. A lot of organizations don't have that. And also their philosophies and styles. You know, we play a style where we try to promote the player aspect. They are the driving force of our offense and our defense. Not all the teams have that. So, you know, just meeting them and changing and doing all that stuff, it's a great experience.
When you have conversations with the other coaches that are attached to unified teams in Major League Soccer, what are those conversations like? What are you learning about each other?
Well, we're learning about kids and players and partners. You know, what's the best way to reach out to them? Because every player and partner is a little bit different. And you have to, there's a different way to get to each one of them. You know, what you do with one player, especially, you cannot do with another player, because, you know, you can't touch them. Let's say, you know, they have some sensory issues, they have different things. So that individual connection really on a team like this is really important. And you have to really know who you've got with you in order to get the best out of them.
And how has, you mentioned how it has grown here with Atlanta United, where it is more regional when it comes to tryouts and approach and things like that. You mentioned how it's grown as well. How would you like to see Major League Soccer continue to approach unified? Because if I'm not mistaken, not every club in Major League Soccer has a unified team. It's only a certain number that's attached. If you could wave a magic wand, how would you like to see the unified approach and a unified team aspect grow inside of Major League Soccer?
I would love to see two things happen. One, that every team, every MLS club has a team, whether it's a, you know, a 5v5 or 11v11. I think every club should have one. The other thing I think that would be the neatest thing to do would be have a MLS Cup every year where all the teams come together and do a 2 or 3 day tournament, and you work your way through and you have a champion. I think that would be very similar to what they do. You know, you could do quicker games, things along that lines, but would that not be just amazing to see that?
That'd be epic. And I think I think you and I both know a venue that probably could host that pretty easily. Eh?
Yeah, and there might be another venue here in Atlanta coming up in a little while that could do it too, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be fantastic. How hard of a change was it to go from 5v5 to 11v11?
Huge. It took us probably 2 years to really get it, because the biggest thing is you have offsides. You know, think how difficult it is just for fans to go, wait a minute, you're past the ball or past the person, but I'm not involved. So I'm not offsides. You know, that concept of offsides is really hard. And especially our players are more black and white. So it's like, okay, two people, that's it. You know, they don't understand the nuances, sometimes are lost. That was probably the biggest thing. And then fitness. Fitness is huge, just because some of the disabilities that they have limit what they can do, how much they can run and things like that. So those are the two biggest things. The rest, you know, getting unified partners that understand the game and help promote, that was fairly easy. So I would say, you know, offsides, fitness would be the two biggest things.
When you find a partner, how difficult is it, or is it difficult to match them? And so that way you have the partnerships and the duos where it is a seamless element when you have all of the partners engaged and the other parts of the roster engaged. How much of a chemistry experiment is it trying to determine, okay, partners, I need the partners to do A, B, C, D, and E, and then the rest of the roster, you know, when they integrate F, G, H, I, and J, how difficult is that chemistry experiment sometimes?
We've been really pretty lucky where almost all of our partners have played either Special Olympics, North Fulton United, Cobb County, volunteered at one of those groups. So they understand what the goal is. You know, the goal is not them shining, but they do shine by doing what they need to help the other partners. I mean, help the other players shine. So that's been a great thing that we've been lucky enough to have, is most of these kids come in with an understanding of the game, because they've almost all of them play at club teams, their high school teams, but then also what the, not the goal, but let's say the philosophy behind the team is, you know, we're there to promote and make them better. So if they come in with that, then, you know, they're going to do perfect.
Marty Jellamy, the head coach for Atlanta United's Unified team, getting ready for their season opener here in 2025 against Nashville after the match. And we wholeheartedly have encouraged all week long. And when your schedule came out, that like, well, once the match is over with the MLS folks, you can move in your seat, you can move down to the 100 level, and you can yell as loudly as humanly possible. And that is, as always, a recommended behavior. Do you, you know, get the chance to catch up with your players? And do they feel that energy? What's it? Do you get any feedback from them about the energy that the fans bring in situations like this, where they're inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium and folks are yelling their heads off? Do you get that feedback from them?
I will give a shout out to the seven teams. That you go to any other stadium, nobody is as loud as Atlanta United. The 17s back there hitting the drums, screaming, yelling, making sure that everybody is engaged in the match. No other team has anything like that for MLS. They are amazing. And then we probably get close to the largest crowds to stay for the games compared to some of the other clubs. Some, you know, they're pretty small, but we get a good group. And I'm hoping to see a lot more tomorrow. An afternoon match. You guys can stay, watch for an hour or two. I mean, it's not 10, 11 o'clock at night. I get late those days. Hey, you can stay for an hour, go get a beer afterwards or whatever. And you'll have a wonderful time. You'll totally enjoy it. So I want to see everybody out there tomorrow.
Do you get the chance to talk to the other coaches with the other teams whether about fan support and give them advice, considering how Atlanta United, I think it's safe to say, is probably the bellwether for unified teams in Major League Soccer. Do you guys get to go back and forth and feedback about fan interaction, crowd interaction, that kind of a thing, engaging with the outside world in situations like this?
Yeah, most times the day before the clubs will come in and we'll do an activity with the other club, which would be all the players, all the partners, and all the coaches. So during that time, we'll always get a little time to ourselves. The coaches will go to the side, talk about, you know, what works in their areas, what doesn't, you know, what do you do that we could do better? So that always happens. And then also we'll all watch the match together most of the time. And then that's another time that we get together and we can talk and do all that. So there's a lot of interaction, which is nice.
And this is with the unified teams, you have all-stars. I mean, there have been great all-star announcements that have happened inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where they get to integrate and be a part of MLS All-Star Week. It is something I think that more people should be drawn to for a bunch of different reasons. Because it's part of the community, it's a part of the 17s, it's a part of the fabric, and it's not just something that is out there to be out there. There is a great meaning and a great attachment for Atlanta United Unified with Atlanta United, and I think that's something that's really cool to see.
And I think they're the best. Like you said earlier, Atlanta United, the community relations team, does the best job of anybody that I've come across. And they're really committed, and they do... The things they do are the little small things to make it that much better. Like they set locker rooms up. What else? Make sure that the team players come out. Those little things are what make them the best. And well, and it's all due to the community relations team at Atlanta United. So heads up. I mean, yeah, you know, shout out to them.
Absolutely. Lena Saul and everybody in community relations. I mean, it's the stuff that I don't think we necessarily think about. And, you know, the unified team is an equal. It is an equal part of this. The procession is the same. The uniforms are the same that you see with first team and second team. It is a first-class operation. And I think that it's almost an understood that even as seven teams or anybody is looking, that this is how it is a unified team that has Atlanta United's name with it, that this is how it is going to be. So the fact that you'll see the procession, you'll see all the different things, it's there because that's what's expected from Atlanta United when you have something like this happen. I mean, it's there. It's a unified team. Yes, this is how it is going to be done. There is no second chance to do anything like that. There is no substitute. It is going to be done in a first-class way.
Oh, yeah. No, and you know, procession is a prime example. Nobody else has done that we've been to. You know, we come with the first team. We all come together. You don't see that with other clubs. You know, we're there. We play after. But here in Atlanta, they are in the forefront. They put them right up there with Team One and Team Two. So it's a huge honor to be connected with the team, let me tell you.
All right, I need you to be head coach for a second. For folks that are wandering in and watching this match and staying after the national match for Major League Soccer, for someone sitting down, considering this is your first match here in 25, who will the 17s gravitate toward on your roster this year? Who's in the spot shadow for head coach Marty Jellamy for folks sitting down in the seats and going to watch the match against Nashville?
Well, X Factor Xavier, number one. You can't miss him. 6'2". I mean, great looking guy, fast, talented. Change of position this year. You're going to notice he's on the wing. He's not in the middle. We're actually going to try to go to a four forward on the offensive side of the pitch, bring somebody up the sides. And then when we're on the defensive side of the pitch, go back and we'll have three across the top. So I know Nashville is going to put, you know, five across the back with three partners. So to try to break that, we've been working on that. So a little strategy this year, not just, you know, three across the front like our normal match.
I was going to say, how much film study are you guys doing here getting ready for this one? This is hardcore, man.
Well, we played them last year, so it makes it a little bit easier. No one else except Atlanta United, I think, live streams. So, you know, you pretty much go in blind unless you've played the team before, which another shout out. There's another thing that Atlanta does that nobody else does. They live stream all the games so that all the supporters can watch, even if you can't make the game. You can still watch the game, and you can watch the highlights. They keep it up. So it's a pretty cool thing.
Absolutely true. I'm waiting for the moment that Alex Eberle goes to Austin and puts on a 10-gallon hat. I want to see Alex on the road trip in Austin just decked out, looking like a Texan. That's what I'm looking for.
There's only one, you know, if he did that, he wouldn't get any sun because that hat would be so big, you know, it just kind of cover him up. But – you know, if you and I went to him and said, Alex, we want you to wear a big old 10-gallon hat, you know he would be the first person in line to do it. He is up for doing anything. So we might have to do that. I think that would be kind of fun.
That would be fantastic. So, Marty, once again, it'll be great to see everybody with the unified team on the pitch tomorrow for the season opener against Nashville. I know it's a rivalry game across the board. Thanks for doing this, especially as you're prepping for everything and getting ready on a match week. Thank you for dropping by and being a part of the show. Once again, you got the garage door opener. You know how to get in anytime you guys want to chat. We'll probably catch up with you before each match this season. But thanks for dropping by the morning show and letting everybody know about everything Atlanta United Unified. Thanks for doing this, especially on a Friday.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Oh, no, thank you. My pleasure. Anytime you come and watch the match, I think you guys will be amazed at the level of soccer. So come and watch.
Fantastic stuff. Marty Jellamy, the head coach for Atlanta United Unified. Thanks as always, my friend. Great to see you.
Thank you. Good seeing you again, man.
All right. So once again, stay. Always great to see the response from the 17s as Coach Jellamy gave us the opportunity to discuss there. And I love his idea about an MLS Unified Cup. Having that at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I think, would be a fantastic way to finish up the unified season. So, he has the idea. You heard about it here. So, let's make it happen, an MLS Unified Cup. And let's have it at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Once again, thanks for dropping by for the best of SDHAM. John Nelson here with you as we walk through the week that was on the SDH Network and SDHAM, the morning show attached to the SDH Network, 9:05. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. And when we have the chance to pin down Michael Parkhurst and Greg Garza, it is a part of the Friday Free Kick. Friday mornings, traditionally at 9:30, we get to kind of go through their new lives as mentors and their time at Beyond Goals Mentoring in the segment that we call the Friday Free Kick. We caught up with Greg this past week, and now that we caught him for a half hour at home, we kind of got to find out what his day is, one of the busiest men that we know, helping out a bunch of different causes and growing Beyond Goals Mentoring. So we got an update on Beyond Goals Mentoring with a large update with the number of mentees that they have. And competitive stress became a part of the conversation. His thoughts on Atlanta United became a part of the conversation. And there was a question that I had to ask about Atlanta United. Here's our conversation with Greg Garza. Talk about a dude who is all over the planet. Man, we actually caught you in one place. Welcome back, my friend.
I'm home, just for a little bit.
So recap. Since the last time you were here, and I know that you need that cafe to get you gassed up this early in the morning on a Friday.
Second one of the morning.
Man, so what have you been doing? Where have you been, sir? We have missed you. What have you been up to?
Did Orlando with the family a couple of weeks ago for spring break for the kids. So that was Universal Studios and all that kind of stuff. Got home, and then from there the next week had a trip with my girlfriend to Chicago that we do every year. And after that, man, I probably just running around like crazy, man.
Uh-huh. It's that time where when we caught up with Parkey last time, he said that things have now expanded into the state of Ohio, and that's because out of calendars and things and how calendars are different. This is turning into the 14-month a year thing for you and Greg, for you and Cap, which I know that you had wanted to do. What's it like having to do this now 14 months out of the year and 380 days a year now?
Man, I'm like a 19 hour work day person. So I get my, 5-6 hours of sleep every day. And then, back to it. Started early this morning.
All right. So run me through a 19 hour day. How are you getting 26 hours of work into a 19 hour day?
Man, it is waking up extremely early, having some time to myself, getting everything I need to do to help myself feel good about myself, kind of that sense of accomplishment. So it's running every day, working out every day. I'll do that for the first, hour or hour and a half of my day. It sucks waking up and doing it. But once I'm finished and I feel kind of, ready to tackle the whole entire day, it just depends. Sometimes you have kids who want to do a mentoring session right before school. Sometimes you have kids who are homeschooled and can do a mentoring session like right after this. It's kind of sporadic throughout the day. And then usually I kind of have like a lunch break where I'll meal prep or procrastinate in a positive way around the house and doing laundry and getting all the kids' stuff cleaned and all that kind of stuff. And then, if I have a little bit of time, then I might go back to the gym and do like a core circuit or whatever, dude. And then after that, my kids usually have training every single day. So it's Monday through Friday, training, whether it's from 6 p.m. to 7:30 or finishing at 8. And mom will do me a favor to pick them up from training. I'll take them too. And then my days really start at like 7:30, 8 every single day. And they go until about 11:30. So 11:30, sometimes 11:45, just depending on where that kid is in the world. We have a new mentee that's in Singapore right now.
Whoa!
12 hour difference. Sometimes like yesterday I mentored him at 8:30 AM.
Yeah.
It's 8:30 PM on his end. So, it's interesting, man. We're able to fill so many spaces within the States. I think I just did this a couple of weeks ago for our marketing team. I think we have about 41 states, of kids that we mentor. So, you know, it's pretty cool, man.
The last time we talked, I think it was up to in and around 250 different mentees. Does that sound anywhere close?
No, we're probably passing 1,000 here in a little bit.
Wow. How do you keep it all straight?
I have a much better memory than Parky. Let's just say that. I'm the Parky. I always tell people Parky is like the outside of the box, you know, idea, and also like the logistical, the logical thinker, right? Just like very, you know, well spoken and has different ideas and kind of myself. I'm like the motivator and the go getter and, I'm the people's person. I am definitely the salesman of our crew. And Parky is the one that is the idea behind everything.
Were you always that kind of personality when it came to even
in the locker room? Yeah. Even in the locker room, I was the goofball. I was the one making fun of everybody, making people laugh, doing stupid stuff. That's always been me to just kind of always have a smile. You know, I think it's especially for those guys. And I think that's where a lot of people, they always see me and they're like, man, like we thought you were such a big a-hole. You know, they really don't get to know me. What they see in the game, I transformed. Right. I had that kind of chip on my shoulder and kind of lunatic mentality and so many other things that kind of defined me as a player. But in the communities and any way and where I can be, I'll always be that motivator and, you know, goofball. I mean, I see Miss Abs. I was at Silverbacks doing an event for the Hispanic community for about 150 kids. It was funny. Soccer in the Streets was right across from us. And I've done that event a couple of years ago as well, or visited as well. But this one was by a group called Alianza. They do Hispanic tournaments all around the United States. Yep. And they invited me to be a part of it here in Atlanta. And I think it was a success. So now I might be wearing another hat and having the opportunity to travel with them and go. I mean, like, I think after them meeting me and, seeing that I am a Mexican-American player who played in both countries and had success in both countries, I think it's cool to kind of be that, you know, bridge for them as well, especially within the Hispanic communities. There's so many Hispanics around the States and just providing them the opportunity. And so they do a really good job in getting partnerships and sponsorships from all different companies. That one was sponsored by King's Hawaiian Bread, and had about 150 kids from ages 4 to 14. So it was really cool to be a part of that. And once again, I'm the guy that's like, when I got there, they were like, you know, we don't know what you can do if you just want to hop in and be with the kids. And then about 3 hours later, they were like, wow, you're amazing with kids. And I'm like, well, that's what I do. That's what I do for a living, man. So I gotta be something with what I'm good at. So, but I'm like the type of person that, I mean, if I see a kid walking by and they have, you know, in today's world, shoes never have laces or anything. And I'll walk by and I'll be like, dude, your shoes are untied. And they'll look down and that's, I'm always doing something that's, you know, making one of their friends laugh or, you know, whatever it is, tapping them on the shoulder and looking the other way. You know, all those little things.
When it comes to a locker room that needs that, I would imagine, though, that's a fine line, especially if you're not doing well or as doing as well as you would like. How do you navigate maintaining your personality, knowing everybody in the locker room, knowing that you're serious, and navigating those rough patches with all of the different personalities that are there in a locker room like that?
Yeah, it's a fine line and it's a balance, right? You have to know, you get to know personalities and know who you can mess with and joke around with. You know, it's, you pick and choose. There's always going to be that one guy that might be a goofy punching bag that you might need in the locker room. And in our time there, it was Mr. Mikey Ambrose. Mikey Ambrose was the punching bag for all of us. And in the like most loving way, but just the banter was always through Mikey or Chris McCann, Harrison Heath, when he was there as well. You know, you need those guys that are going to just lighten your day. If you're having the crappiest day and you go into the locker room and you just have those guys. And I was definitely one of those guys, that bridge of different languages as well, where I got to joke in all sorts of different languages. Right. So, I mean, if Eleni Nida wants to pay me right now and just be in the locker room for banter and try and turn things around, I would definitely say yes. I'm not going on the field. I don't think I would survive, but just to be in the locker room and kind of be with those guys and get the morale up and change the air a little bit. It's so needed, especially in times like these, because you still need that managing role of guys that are going to be, you know, there's going to be guys that are ticked off and pissed off all day with what's going on right now. And you gotta find a way to kind of get them back into the mix of what they're doing. For me, it was almost like a message of, you know, you get to do what you love every single day. You know, like that happiness and that joy of stepping on the field, there's no better escape. And so I think that for me was something that I always lived by. But yes, the fine line for me was, hey, when it was serious and it had to be serious, I was probably one of the most serious. So yeah, I was willing to put my life on the line for whatever play.
But then when you have, say, like what's going on right now, and you are almost afraid to be yourself, how do you push past that to regain who you are toward the successes that you know that that your club, whomever you were talking about here, but yes, we're talking somewhat about Atlanta United. How do you get out of that quicksand? How do you push all that stuff away? How do you push through being afraid to make a mistake? I imagine these are conversations that you have with mentees too.
Yeah, it's once again, I think you still have to find kind of that why and who. I think that's always important, especially for pros. Those guys, they have to realize their why every single day, who they're doing it for, why are they doing it, even if they're in rough patches, because that's the whole reason that they're there. It doesn't matter if you're a $15 million player, if you're a, you know, $67,000 player, it doesn't matter. You're still a guy who needs to understand the opportunity at hand and just to be where you are. You know, I have a young boy that I've been, we actually kind of created an exercise together about 2 months ago. And he's been on Real Monarchs for the past 2 years and he's played 2 games. And this is coming from a kid who was captain on every single Real Salt Lake age group from like U14s all the way up, was the captain on every team. And has been a pro for 2 years and has played 2 games. That's it. And so, you know, it's interesting to like even try and find a way to motivate players like that. You know, it's, you have to find a way to where they can be put in a good mindset and being patient and still going to practice and enjoying themselves and not being doubtful of why am I doing this? Why, like, you know, just getting them always back to home base and understanding, I think, their why and who they're doing it for. That's the most important thing for all the guys that are even at AU right now. It's that chemistry is going to click at one point. You just got to have to continue to be patient and, you know, see if it'll work out.
But God, that's got to be one of the most anticipation, I would think, of result has to be one of the most frustrating things for an athlete at any level. You know, it's there. It's not there now. But, you know, if everybody says, okay, stay the course, be you, shake off, you know, all the negatives, what happened, you can flush it, learn from it, and move on. That's got to be one of the most frustrating things to know that it's there and then balance the idea of, I know it's there, but I don't want to mess up and make things worse for everybody around me because of the situation. And it seems like that there's almost like a vicious cycle there that you're trying to avoid.
Yeah, it's the mentality as well, I think, in the league, just from personal experience, is such a different standpoint than playing in Mexico at that time. Right now, not now, because Pro Rel doesn't exist anymore in Mexico. Right. But like the mentality, I think, for most people who play in the league is that, okay, if things aren't working out, then, you know, we have this whole year to build on what might be next. And I think that's a mentality that, yes, there's that pressure there. But there's not that pressure of like, there's no tomorrow.
Right.
And I think that sometimes is something that I think, I wouldn't say hinder performance, but just doesn't give that extra boost, I think, or that extra sprint back or that extra, I don't care if I'm hurting right now or injured, I'm going to get through it. And I think playing in other places and, you know, playing in those hostile like situations, even individually and collectively, of fighting for relegation or fighting to stay up in the first division, those, I think that also has a huge, huge component to how the guys carry themselves each and every day, how they carry themselves in the games, their type of mentality in terms of getting through these tough moments.
Greg Garzon, a second cup of coffee, hanging out with us here on the Friday Free Kick at BG Mentoring on the 280 character app at Beyond Goals Mentoring on all the other medias that are social. So, all right, here's my challenge for you as you take your sip of coffee. So, because you have to be hydrated for this particular session. Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. My challenge for you, if you were to walk into that locker room right now, and someone tapped you on the shoulder and it's like, okay, I need you to talk to them before the match, before they go out there, before the fans, you know, they at Mercedes-Benz Stadium this weekend. If you had to go into that locker room and wanted to talk to the new wave of Atlanta United, what would you say? I'm not going to say it's a speech, but what would your talking points be in trying to address that locker room to try and get them off of the schneid that they're currently on?
So many different ways you can handle it, right? I'm a person that I like to apply the pressure. I don't like to take it away, and I think that's what's needed. I think that's what's needed. It's you think about what they're going through, that they're underperforming in terms of results. But are they underperforming in terms of like, are they just crapping the bed?
Yeah.
You know, like I don't, it's a hard one to, it's a hard one to kind of really dissect, because they're doing great things. There's not things on the field that they're doing and just like, it's shambolically bad. You know, there's really good moments that you see and they give you good glimpses. And then I think sometimes it's just moments of, you know, focus and concentration or whatever it is that will turn the game upside down. And then, you know, I think there's just a, might be like a mental block of getting it back. So trying to get them on the right track. I honestly don't know which way I would go in terms of applying more pressure and making them understand the level that they have to live up to, or I think that's where you have to be in a locker room and you have to get a feel for how these guys are. Every coach that I played for was, the best coaches that I played for, I will always say were not coaches. They were good managers. Yeah. They understood the personalities. They understood the emotions of everyone. They understood how to get the best out of everyone. And so I think when you're not in the locker room, you're not in that sacred, it's a sacred place. A locker room is a sacred place. It's, you don't know what the emotions are. You don't know what the, I've talked about this with Jason as well, is you don't know what the competitive stress of these guys are going through right now. And there's so many different things that we don't see from the outside.
Yeah.
And so, hopefully that's something that you can hope and pray that the manager can really transform and help them get out of whatever they're going through. Because like I said, there's from a fan standpoint, there aren't like, you can't look at some of their games, and yes, maybe one or two of them out of the season, but that's always going to happen in a season.
Yeah.
You can't look at most of their games and be like, they're playing bad.
Yeah.
They're not creating chances, or they're not playing that flare and fire, because there are a lot of glimpses that they do have that spark. They do have something there. And then whether it be just sometimes the bad luck that they have and then just not being able to turn it around in those key moments. But, I think it's still a minute of them figuring themselves out and figuring their chemistry out. I don't think how lucky we are to have had the chemistry that we had from the very beginning, and our success and our tenor that we had with Atlanta United in those very first couple or few years. That is something like unheard of. You don't bring guys that are from all around the world, never played with each other, speak all those sorts of different languages, and something just clicks. It happens one team out of how many teams? There's a whole brand new team this year. Look at San Diego, right? San Diego is another team that you can kind of look at and you're like, wow, like they play some really, really good soccer at times. But they're still getting to know each other. And so I think, you look back at our success that we had, we were even in shock as players on the field that we had such good chemistry. So it's definitely, there's so many different angles that you can look at it.
Well, and you talking to someone who is 19 versus talking to someone who is 32 versus talking to someone who's in their late 30s. It's going, I would imagine it's like going up to each particular seat in that locker room, like you do with your mentees, like you with you and Cap. And it's like messaging probably has a commonality of theme to it on some levels, but each individual conversation is probably different. Taking that messaging and taking that message and turning it a little bit and having it applied to each individual person. It's like, well, if someone knows what it's like to sit here and go like this, and they get it, then you might not have to do as much to an individual that might be a little older, that has other things going on in their lives, that you talk about the competitive stress and the stuff off the field that compounds a lot to how sometimes you act on the field. So I would imagine it's almost a seat by seat basis in that locker room.
Yeah. My biggest point will always come down to the manager. It'll always come down to the manager and getting the best out of your players. That's, if your players are bought in, if your players are truly bought in with what you bring, with what you want to do, with them, with him knowing he can get the best out of each and every one of them, them knowing their role, that's a successful team. There, I can recall numerous times, even being at Atlanta United, and let's use Tata for example. Sure. Tata would pull me. We'd be doing a training session, whether it be a transition training session or whatever, and Tata would pull me aside and say, I need you. I need you to keep doing exactly what you're doing. And I need you to continue to be the person you are off the field, on the field. Just continue to be doing what you're doing. You are playing with an immense amount of confidence. That right there, like, stepping into the next game. It was like, you know, before, I think it was like before San Jose, you know, like at home at Bobby Dodd.
Yeah.
Where we started losing and we kind of had like that amazing comeback where Joseph almost burned himself with fire. But like, that was probably one of my favorite games I played in. But that was stuck in my mind from a managing standpoint that even when crap hit the fan in that game, I was still instilled with that confidence of, okay, this is a moment to where coach told me a few days ago, he needs me. He needs me to do the exact same thing of what I'm doing. And that's the mindset. That's the mindset that you can get out of players. Tata knew that he could tell me that, whereas he might be telling Miggy, you know, something else. He might be telling Joseph, understanding Joseph's personality and saying, hey, dude, this last game that you played was an absolute embarrassment. But he knows he might be able to get something out of that with him because of who he is. So that individual, you know, understanding of, for me, it comes down to the manager. Where I've played in teams as well in Tijuana to where we had, you know, the highest paid coach at one time in Mexico and probably close in the world, right? We had just brought over a Venezuelan, you know, head coach that got them to like the semifinals of Copa America. And like, you know, this is, you know, hopefully it doesn't get out there in the public, but he was probably one of the, you know, worst coaches I had in my career. You know, but because of how psychological damaging he was to each and every individual, he treated everyone exactly the same and just such a rigid mentality of just banging on everyone at all times. And not everyone is like that, you know? So, I will always say it comes down to the manager and understanding your players and how to get the best out of them. That's where the leadership starts. That's where those pregame talks or those talks during the week of pulling players aside, having those individual meetings with them, and inclusive and being inclusive of everyone as well.
How much of that and all of those experiences have impacted you as a mentor now, where you understand messaging for each individual mentee and you're touching base and everything's might be different here and different here, even if there are some things that are similar?
Massively, because, you know, this kid who's a pro at Monarchs, I will speak so much differently to a young boy who's 11 years old and, you know, trying to get up to another team. Right. There's a different, the messaging is similar, but in the way that I'm saying it is going to be much, much different, you know, helping them understand the importances of life or the importance of why they do what they do, the type of personality that they need. I will use different avenues and angles, how to approach it with each and every one of them. But you know, that messaging, ultimately what I'm going to get through to them is the same.
How long did it take for you to hit that rhythm as a mentor and with what you're doing at Beyond Goals?
No, I think that stems back from what you and I talked about in the very beginning of being who you are in the locker room. That was who I was in the locker room. I was that glue to bring everybody together in a goofy way, but also leading by action way. You know, if we look back to every warm-up of Atlanta United, and we were to go back and we were to look at film in the Mercedes-Benz, I was the first one in warm up every single time. First one. And I wasn't the guy that was going to be like, rah, rah, let's go guys, let's do this. But I was the first one in warm up every single time. And our lines of two, whatever it was, I was the first one. I was the first one to step out on the field and run everybody out. That was who I was. That was the serious in me. But at the same time, during those warm-ups, I might, you know, spring a little joy or sprinkle a little, you know, happiness or goofballness to kind of get everybody in the right mood and understand we're about to do what we love. So I transcended, I guess you could say, into that as a mentor as well.
I just have this vision of you trying to have Big Red crack a smile during a pregame warm-up.
Me?
Yeah, you trying to get Big Red to crack a smile. I don't know if Larenowitz in a pregame warm-up would sit there and go, bruh.
No, oh, for sure. For sure. Big, not many people know that Big Red is Napoleon Dynamite, all right?
Yeah.
He is the true Napoleon Dynamite, the most sarcastic comedian
Oh yeah,
ever seen. Like, he made people laugh. He made people laugh just for fun.
And he'll come in with a sledgehammer and you won't realize that he just came in with it. He'll drop a sledgehammer on you and you get a laugh and you're sitting there and go, well, hey, wait a minute.
Well, that's because every single one of us are about, 6,000 times less intelligent than he is. So,
wow. All right. So what's the latest with Beyond Goals before you get out of here?
Man, same old, man. Just continue growing the game. Wearing a lot of different hats. I just got the opportunity to be, hopefully, the FIFA Club World Cup ambassador for Atlanta. So that's something that I'm pretty excited about, and hopefully it goes through. So pray for me. I'm like hoping I do a good job, and I guess ambassading Atlanta. Ambassadoring Atlanta, not just for the Club World Cup, because I don't really want to watch Chelsea play in the Club World Cup. I'm just hoping I can kind of plant my eggs, plant my seeds and all over put my eggs in different baskets with FIFA, because I'm excited about something else, not just the Club World Cup. I kind of want to plant that seed so I can be ready for, hey, instead of paying $6,000 for a nosebleed ticket in the World Cup.
Can I ambassador for like a cut rate there? Like zero?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. As always, my friend, it's great to see you. Glad we can catch up with you here on the Friday Free Kick and find out.
As always, man.
Beyond Goals Mentoring. You know you got the garage door opener and you can hit it anytime.
Sounds good, bro.
All right, be good. Always great to catch up with Michael Parkhurst and Greg Garza and find out the latest with Beyond Goals Mentoring and what they think about what's going on in the world of soccer. And on SDHAM on Fridays at 9:30 Eastern Time. And as a part of our programming grid, what we like to do is hit the high school game in the state of Georgia as hard as humanly possible. And with a bunch of different classifications, six being the highest number of A's, the private bracket being its own bracket from lower classifications, and at the same time, the lowest classification, Class A, being divided up into divisions 1 and 2, you end up with 16 championships by the time you're done. Over our time at the SDH Network, we've been going to a lot of towns where you would not necessarily associate success in the growth of the game of soccer on the high school ranks. But one of those places has been the town of Hazelhurst. I will leave it up to you to find out more about Jeff Davis County and Hazelhurst. But in catching up with a program that has continued to grow in the smallest classification, making runs into the playoffs, having 2,500 people show up for a playoff game against a near rival, we figured what we would do, as a team has continued to win in the playoffs and both on the boys and girls sides coming into the round of the Sweet 16, we decided to catch up with head coach Brian Lawson and find out what the playoff picture has been like, what it's like to have this kind of an audience and this kind of a crowd, this kind of growth for the Pinelands, which has been truly a hotbed in Middle Georgia for the growth of the game. Here's our conversation from Soccer is in Session, Playoff Daily Live. We have that noon, Monday through Friday, during the playoffs in the GHSA. Here's our conversation about growth in Jeff Davis County. No dilly, no dally zone. It is Soccer is in Session, Playoff Daily Live. I'm going to Hazelhurst, and we are not wasting any time. We're catching up with Coach Lawson because it's big stuff going on in the Pinelands. How are you, my friend?
Good. How you doing?
You tell me. You're the one who's chasing after wins and history and all this kind of stuff. What's it been like to have your first ever doubleheader and getting ready for a new round? What was that like for you?
There it is, early. We talked about last time on here. It's the stuff that's not on the grass. That's the crazy stuff, like the electrical work going on. We have construction going on to a soccer locker room now, which has put a little wrinkle on our plans for visiting teams coming down. But went smooth, nothing too crazy. Girls got the win 3-0. Boys win 7-2 over Bacon rival. Coming into town, it's always good to beat Bacon County, no matter what the score is. So lucky enough that both sides are able to host today as well. Hoping we can take care of business today and keep it going.
When you have time to kind of look at things, and it might be a day less, what is film study like? Once again, trying to do things on a quick turn and understand what you learned about yourself in a win, but put it to the side and not dwell on it, because you got to focus on the next round here in round two.
So for us, our first two practices were about us trying to fix little things there with our girls' side, just trying to finish. We had a ton of chances early against Jasper and just couldn't capitalize on putting the ball in the back of the net. But we've worked on those things this week. Same on the boys' side. Bacon County came out, I feel like, played their best match they've played all season. Like, they were solid, structurally sound, and we were able to score a few early that really just put us ahead with them scoring a couple late. But film-wise, it's us the first two or three days, and then we really start to work on our opponent the last 2 days, day and a half, more strategic, like on set-piece stuff and seeing different weaknesses. But during this time of the year, you know, regular season, people want to share film with you and help out. This time of year, ain't nobody sharing film. So we were lucky enough that how our boys' schedule worked out, we could send a couple coaches and go scout after a practice and talk to some folks that I have a few buddies in the soccer world down here that gave me a little help on some stuff. But film was hard to come by. Now all region opponents don't want to help each other. Somebody's trying to talk to you to get your film to give to somebody else. So everybody's real secretive. So it was a little tough.
Well, I mean, and that sounds like the other – well, all right, so then let me compare. What's it like when you're in the playoffs in Football Fridays, FOOTBALL in the fall? Is it easier during the fall than it is during soccer season?
Oh, it's way easier. So, like, when we hit the first round of football, we're going to have 11 films on the opponent we're playing in the playoffs and probably a spring game and probably a couple of summer practices and some car footage from someone filming from the parking lot. Like, we're going to have everything. And in our region, we agree, like, the previous two games we'll share. So, we automatically got film on opponent. And when we get the playoffs, sometimes it's previous three. All depends there. Now, soccer, with how it is, some people might not film, some people might, then they don't share. And so it's crazy in that world where it's a lot of legwork. What's helped a lot was NFHS Live, a lot of people are filming games where we can, if it's still up, we can try and sneak a peek at somebody here and there. But for the most part, it's backdoor dealings, trying to just talk to people to get info on folks.
That's crazy. That literally, it's like you're going into to dark alleys with, you know, looking like the private detective from the movies in the 60s with the long coat and the dark, like Mike Hammer. You're trying to get all this film and stuff. That's crazy.
Yes, it is. So, and you know, I know a couple coaches that they don't scout; they just worry about themselves. And then, like me, I come from the football side that we try and. I'm a big set piece guy because that equals goals. That's an opportunity every single time to get a score no matter what. So we always try and find something on someone with set pieces or free kicks and those things. And so film's important, or at least getting eyes on somebody so you can see like formations and those type of things.
How much, when it comes to set pieces specifically, does it stay in the book? Are you adding to the playbook with set pieces as you go? Like if you see something on the training pitch, let's try that. And it's like, oh, that looks – and we always say on the air, oh, that looks like something from the training ground. Do you have those, or do you contract your playbook when it comes to set pieces in the playoffs, or do you expand or what?
So, you know, like when in football season, your trick plays and what you do, you try and dwindle it down because you're trying to do the small things the best you can. Yeah. And you don't have a lot of time in between to get better. Well, for me, we have our set stuff we go into, about four or five different corner kicks, a couple set piece plays we have, and then when we get further along the season, we start adding. You know, we're watching European League soccer every day, our coaches, our kids, and if we see something that we like, we're going to steal it. We're going to try and if they can do it, we can do it in our minds. So we'll we expand on it, and especially when we see an opponent like that's doing something that we think we can exploit, we're going to try and add something or a new wrinkle in there. Because like I said, people that do have film, you might see a certain things that we do, but we try and change it up.
All right. So what was the last piece of professional soccer that you watched where you sat there and it's like, ooh, I like that. What match did you see that you pulled something from?
So Everton was playing Manchester United a few weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and we had always talked about adding somebody to the wall. and on our side. So our set piece, trying to block the keeper, and we've never done it. And so we looked the rules up to try and see how you can. And, you know, two or less people doesn't constitute as a wall. So you can be shoulder to shoulder, three or more as a wall. And you got to be about a yard in front or a yard behind. And so down here, some of these officials we have that are some younger guys, they don't know exact the rules per se. So we tried it in a match and kid got busted with a yellow card and I let him know what I thought about it. But end of the day, at the end of it, he came over and he apologized. He was wrong. We were right. And so we tried adding in and actually it worked for us, but we used it a little bit later and the officials we had, I talked to them before the game and they were cool with it, but just something here and there, you know, everybody's trying to put someone laying down behind the wall. So when you jump, you can block it, or you try and hit one on the ground behind or sneak something. Like yesterday, I forgot who I was watching yesterday. It might've been, it wasn't Barcelona, it's match before. The whole free kick was set up. The whole offensive side was 5 yards past the wall off sides. And so on the free kick coming in with the back line moving, it's set up perfect where they were in line. Not all, they got called for it with VAR, but something different.
Yeah, I mean, the Declan Rice service was crazy to the back post on that one. And that one obviously got called back. But that's are you a coach that believes in having a player laying down behind the wall? Are you team everybody upright, or do you have the player laying down behind your wall? How are you? What team are you?
It really depends on who we're playing. So there's a rival team we play that their free kick taker, he's pretty smart. And so he knows what's going on. So we'll try and sneak one back there to catch him every now and then because he'll go under the wall. And then, but 90% of the time we don't. We're just going to be standing. We're not going to put no one down because we feel like we're wasting. And if they can get one under there, that guy's really like – kid I'm talking about is really, really good. So he can do it. But really game plan type thing. If we sit in the game, we'll add somebody. So,
looking at and finding out your Zapruder like information on your opponents, when Lamar County, who is team 9, ranked number 10, is coming to check out team ranked number 6, team 8, what does Lamar County bring to the table on the girls' side?
So they have a really good winger that makes me super nervous. She can move really well. She's fast. She's athletic. Lamar's trying to get the ball to her out diagonally, sort of like when we played Thomasville earlier in the year. That's what Thomasville likes to do and work the ball back to the top of the 18. They got about 3 or 4 girls that can shoot it. So trying to stack the box. We worked a lot this week on defending the box, as I call it, stepping to, not letting people have free range at the top. And for the second week in a row, we have a keeper that can play with her feet. Like, we don't see that a lot down here where that back line will actually drop the ball to a girl keeper and, like, she can dribble it around and move it where she wants to go. So we got a couple things up our sleeve for that if that takes place. We were prepared for it last week, and Jasper didn't do it to us, so we didn't get to do anything. So, but they can score now. They played Jasper in the regular season twice. They beat them 9-0 and then beat them 3-1 the second time. So if we're going to have to score, and that's been our issue here, lately, we put more into the attack and putting our defenders on a little bit more island, but we're going to make a run. So,
yep. Girls' side, Jeff Davis beat Jasper County in round 1, 8-25. And now you're advancing to take on Lamar, ranked number 6, taking on team number ranked number 10, Lamar County. Shut out Coosa to get down to Hazelhurst. On the boys' side, once again, you beat Bacon. You're ranked number 6. Shockingly, once again, you're playing the 10th ranked team in the scoreboard rankings in Swainsboro. What does Swainsboro bring to the table for you on the boys' side?
Swainsboro's having one of those seasons this year. We used to play them in the region, and we used to always pick them up, and we haven't played them in the last few years. And they are a completely different team than they've been in the past when we played them. They have a new coach over there that's very organized. They got a few their players are a little different than they've had in the past. This is the first time they've made it past the first round in the state playoffs. So congratulations to them. Like they're doing things up there in Emanuel County that ain't been done.
Yeah.
They pre-athletic. They got a few kids that play club ball. I know some of them. Well, my former players coaches some of them on their club team. So I know a little bit about them, but they can play. They can score. They held Barry in they beat Barry in 1-0 in the first round. They had a missed PK, I think, in the first half they should have scored. And then common opponent, like they play Toombs. Toombs beat them 2-0. And Toombs County is a dog. Like we've talked about Toombs all the time. So they're definitely no slouch coming from where they are, but they're having a great season.
When you have a question about philosophy, approach, dealing with players, who is on your speed dial when it comes to advice? Who are the folks that you sit there and, hey, I need to call somebody, you know they'll pick up the phone. Who are those folks for you that you can, that will answer the phone if you've got questions about what's going on?
So my previous one, we talked about me getting this job when I was a big like FIFA guy and wasn't a big soccer guy when I come into this. I got a buddy up at Towns County. His name's Evan Woodard. I was super close to growing up. He's from the Dublin area. His dad's coached all around there. He is, he's like me in the terms of soccer, like love it, watch it, live it, breathe it. But he's a football guy and I've known him forever. So he's up there now. We worked together at Jenkins County and Bullitt County when we were there. He's a go-to for me, 100%. Of course, Coach Lance Helton, he's my guy if we have anything going on. And Coach Jacob Lord, who's at Statesboro High now, he's also one of my really close friends that if I need advice on players and situation, not just on the field side, like he's really good with the up here type stuff and helps me out with that. And then any soccer type thing, like me and Jeremy Moore at Tombs are pretty tight. We bounce ideas off of each other, not being in the same region now, but we're still really close. We talk all the time, especially throughout the playoffs, about different things that are happening with his squad, because he's also a girls and boys coach. So when I first took this job doing both, he was the first one I reached out to just to see how the heck he does it. Because it's new, trying to do two things at once in a limited amount of time, especially us with no turf. We're on grass, so you're having to move a bunch of times so you don't till it up. But those are probably my go-to guys.
All right. Cut the promo for me about what's going on. Doubleheader, it is on the girls' side. Lamar visiting Jeff Davis. On the boys' side, it is Swainsboro visiting Jeff Davis. Hit the promo.
So, baseball doubleheader today. Home, try to get it moved where we didn't have them on the same day, but they're playing at 4. So, hopefully, we're hoping they can clean sweep and Mercy Rural Worth twice so they can get – we can get some of those people to the Pinelands and to the football stadium. But girls taking on Lamar, a quality opponent, hosting at home. Boys hosting Swainsboro at home. There's nowhere else to be whether than wherever you're at than in the Pinelands. On the pitch, seeing it happen for us. We got a lot of things still going on. My electrical's back running in the press box. So hopefully our horn will be blasting, lights will be blowing, all that good stuff today. So we're looking for two wins for the Yellow Jackets, and hopefully we can keep moving on. Boys would be hosting again. Hoping the girls would, but we'd be traveling to Bremen potentially, which has been our nemesis in the past. So, but don't count your eggs to the hatch. So, we're hoping for two wins today, no matter if it was by one or by 50 wins a win. So we just need it.
Absolutely. It's always great to see you, my friend. Thanks for dropping by on the daily, and may everything go as planned. Looking forward to seeing the results. We'll be keeping an eye on the scores tonight. Thanks for coming by, as always, and being a great friend with us here at SDH.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Go Jackets.
Always fun to find those places to where the game has grown and you get to share that growth with the rest of the state and with the rest of the soccer growing audience, the high school soccer audience as well, whether you're talking boys and girls and the challenges, smaller classifications, smaller markets, growth in those markets, going up against the big boys and showing no fear that as your program continues to grow. It's always a treat to catch up with Los Catch Dogs and find out what's going on in Hazelhurst. That is another week of SDHAM. Once again, SDHAM, 9:05 Eastern Time on the SDH, on the Soccer Down Here YouTube channel, also on X, also on Twitch. Be a part of the conversation. Come on in and start your day with us on the SDH Network, and we will get you off and running with a lot of the AM news, a lot of our pundits and analysts, and a lot of the stories of the day to get you rolling when it comes to the news in the sport of soccer. I'm John Nelson, the host of SDHAM. Thanks for dropping by and be a part of SDHAM here on the Off the Woodwork podcast section at 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Mucha plata, y'all. Play it safe. Enjoy the games. We'll catch up with you next week.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now, and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.